The morning of today's daf in Sanhedrin is Lamed Tes. We are on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Today's daf is two things. It's the end of the fourth parak of Sanhedrin. It's also going to be exclusively Agadita. We've launched into Agadita as a result of the Mishnah. Mishnah talked about the significance of killing a person. This is one of the things we say to the witnesses to try to scare them and tell them that it's not worth it. Don't just think that there's one person, but it's just one person, and he deserves it. Whatever the justification is, it's not worth it. And one of the reasons why it's not worth it is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu created humanity, started with one person. The significance of starting with one person is the idea that one person is enough to start the entire world. Killing one person is like killing the whole world. And the Mishnah also pointed out saving a person is like saving the entire world. The significance of one person. It got us onto the discussion of creation and the creation of Adam Arishon. And yesterday's daf dedicated a lot of time discussing Kadosh Baruch Hu's creation, the 6 days of creation, actually the sixth day of creation in detail, and then we went on to discuss other aspects of creation, the consultation with the Malachim as a topic of yesterday's daf, the dimensions of Adam Arishon, another topic of yesterday's daf, and then the daf turned into a couple of statements of the Gemara yesterday where it was uncomplimentary, it was not flattering towards Adam Arishon. He got to the point of being, the Gemara described him as being a kofar, someone who denied a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was a min, he was a bit of a heretic. The Gemara spoke about him in uncomplimentary terms, and that is going to bring us to today's daf. Today's daf is going to be, most of it, is going to be discussion between heretics and Tanaim and Amoraim. Rabbi Gamaliel is going to play a prominent role in today's daf, as he's going to have to be dealing with the heretics, with the Minim, and Amoraim also, various Amoraim are also going to be dealing with it as well. Obviously, during this time period, we're towards the end of Baisheni, and after the Baisheni, after the destruction of Baisheni, so during this time period, obviously, heretics were of a major concern, of a major significance amongst the Jewish people, and so this is something that had to grapple with and deal with, and our Gemara over here is going to be spending a lot of time on that. We are in the Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We're starting with the Amar Rav Nachman Haimai. Okay, we are towards the bottom of the Amud. So Amar Rav Nachman Haimai Diadal Adur Leminim Karav Idis Lehader. So if you know how to respond to the Minim and you're really good at it and you're a good debater and you're knowledgeable, etc., like Rav Idis, so that's great. So then you should engage in debate with a minim. The ilah lo lehader. But if you do not have the wherewithal, so then you shouldn't. You shouldn't get involved and just basically leave it to the professionals. Gemara goes on. Amar humina l'rav idis. So we are discussing now the Rav Idis being a master debater. So the Gemara gives the following example. Ksiv el Moshe Amar alei el Hashem. So Akash Baruch Hu says to Moshe, so you go up to Hashem. Difficult pasuk, meaning who is the speaker in this pasuk? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, alei elai mi bai elai. So, if Hashem is the speaker in this pasuk, so he should say, come to me. What does it mean, go to Hashem? Speaking about himself in third person. So, a little bit later on this morning, we're going to point out, that's not crazy. Meaning, people speak about themselves in third person. Now, generally speaking, it's, in our day and age, it comes off as sounding a little disingenuous, but it used to be much more done, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it wouldn't be out of this world to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke about himself in third person. But again, now we're in the middle of the debate. So Amalei Zehu Mitatron Shishmo Kishem Rabo. Rabbi Idis says to the men, no, you don't understand. This is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu talking. This is Mitatron. Now Mitatron happens to go by the same name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning you have one of the Malachi Asharis who actually has the same name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though obviously to differentiate, we're going to call him by a different name. Now, Dichsiv Kishmi, I'm sorry, yeah, Kishmi Bekirbo. So, Yahachi, Niflechule, so the man says, oh, really? So, there's a Malach who goes by the same name of Akash Baruch Hu, so why don't you worship him? So, the Gemara says, Ksiv, no, Altamir Bo, Altamirenu Bo. So, no, in other words, there cannot be an exchange. Meaning, we don't exchange anyone else for Akash Baruch Hu. We understand that the Malachim serve Akash Baruch Hu, and yes, one of them is even named after Akash Baruch Hu, but of course, that does not mean we're going to serve them. Im Kein Lo Yisa Lepish. So, So Lamali. So so if that's true, so how could he be Solech? How could he be forgiving? So if he doesn't have any power. So Amalei Heim Nusa Biyadan Dafilu Biparvanka Nami Lo Kabane. So he says, no, we didn't accept him at all. Meaning, we didn't want to deal with him at all. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the following offer in the Midbar. Meaning, I'm not going to go with you anymore, but I'll send you out with one of my malachim. And we said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. If you're not coming with us, we're not going at all. So basically, an explanation of the pasuk of, instead of saying, Alei Alei, it says, Alei El Hashem. Right, and if Hashem is talking, so how can that work? So basically, the approach of Ravidus is that was not Kadosh Baruch Hu talking. It was a malach instructing Moshe to go up, and he goes by the same name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a malach, and we would refer to him as Mitachon. Amalei Omina LeRabbi Yishmael BeRabbi Yosi Ksiv VaHashem Imtir Al Sedom VaAl Amorah Gafris VeEish. So Me'Eis Hashem MiItom MiBaylei. So once again, if the speaker is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what does it mean Me'Eis Hashem? From Hashem, the following is coming out. What does that mean? It should say, for me. So, Amaleahu Kovish Shavke Ani Mahajan Lei. So, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was prepared to answer to this min, but a launderer said, I got this one. Meaning, I already know the answer, and you don't have to get dirty in the mud. I'll fight this battle. Dichsiv ayom alemech l'nashav ad avitzila shim'an koli neshe lemech neshe. I'm sorry. Nishay Lemech Nishai Mi Baalei. Speaker over here is Lemech. Lemech's two wives separated from him. He killed Cain by accident. The wives no longer wanted to have relations with Lemech. He was a murderer. They were also afraid their children are going to die as well. They were descendants of Cain. So they separated from Lemech. Lemech now is pleading with them. No, in other words, it's everything's going to be okay. And this is the psukim. But anyway, he says Nishay Lemech. He's the speaker. What does that mean, Nishay Lemech? So Ela Mishay Krahachi Nahachinami Mishay Krahachi. Gemara's answer is very simple. So it's simply a form. It's a manner of speech. Meaning, sometimes even when you're the speaker, sometimes you refer to yourself in third person. We see Lemech doing it. So if Lemech is referring to himself in third person, it's not out of the it's not out of the world to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also refers to himself in third person. Amalei Manalach Ha Mipirkei D'Rameir Shmili. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi turns to the launderer and says, "That was really impressive. Like, how did you know that? Where did you learn that from?" So he says, "I learned it from the Shiurim of Rav Meir." The Amar of Yochan Ki Hava Darsh Rav Meir BePirkei Hava Darsh Tilsa Shmaisa Tilsa Agada Tilsa Maslei. So he says, generally speaking, the Shiur of Rav Meir was broken down to the following. The third of it was just drashas halacha, meaning what we typically do in the daf, and Tilsa Shmaisa, and then a third of it was statements that were made, meaning not brisas, not drashas, but shmaisas, right? A sugya. And tilsa gadata. I'm sorry. Let me do that again. Let me do that better. Tilsa shmaisa. That's the gemara that we're used to. Tilsa gadata. Okay, a third of it is the gadata. And tilsa maslei. Maslei is the Aramaic word for mashal, mishalom, meaning parables, stories. Okay. Interesting, by the way, that Agadata and Mashalim are definitely in two different categories. And basically, of the shear that he gave, two-thirds of it was non-halacha. Meaning, a third of it was Agadata, and the third of it was Mashalim. Okay. So, V'amar Rav Yochanan Gimel Mishaloshu Alam Hayola Rabbi Meir. Rav Meir loved stories regarding foxes. In other words, they were quote unquote children's stories, but they were not children's stories. They were stories about foxes, but obviously to impart wisdom and insight. Now, Rav Meir had 300 of them. We don't have that many. In fact, we have a fraction. 1% of the stories that he told, we only have 3. And even when the Gemara tells over the stories, which the Gemara is about to do, the Gemara tells them in 2 lines. And the Gemara doesn't even tell the stories. Actually, what the Gemara does is the Gemara just simply cites Pesukim. Avos yoch lubos v'shine b'am tikahena, moz neitzedek av neitzedek, sadik mitzara nechlat v'yavo rasha tachtav. Okay, 2.5 lines of Gemara teaching us the 3 mashalim of Rabbi Meir and basically his fox stories. So, how are we supposed to understand the fox stories from the 3 Pesukim that the Gemara quote? The answer is Rashi. Okay, so let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi now in the very top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. So again, where are we right now in the Gemara? So geographically, we're on the very top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. We're doing the first Rashi. And in terms of how we got here, we're now going to tell stories about foxes because a launder was able to respond to a min. Yesterday's daf as well as today's daf is all about how to respond to heretics, what to respond to heretics regarding various theological conundrums that they raise. And this launder was able to successfully deal with one of the heretics. And Rabbi Shmuel ben Rav Yossi looked at him and basically said to him, like, how'd you do that? His response was, oh, I went to Rabbi Meir Shear. And in Rabbi Meir Shear, so he taught a lot of these things. And then the Gemara launched into a discussion of what Rabbi Meir Shear's looked like. And a third of his shear was dedicated to stories, but stories to impart wisdom and messages. There were 300 of them. We only have 3. And now we're learning some of the stories of some of the fox stories. Okay, that's where we are in the daf right now. I'm telling over stories about foxes. On the very top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Avos Yochlu Boser. Mashal Hu Shirima Shua Sazeif. So the fox outfoxed the wolf. Okay, we have that expression in English. Obviously, the expression is a derivative of basically what we have over here. The fox outfoxed. So, and he outfoxed the wolf in the following manner. Likanz the chatzar ayudim berev Shabbos ulasakin imahem lesarchi seuda v'yochal imahem b'shabbos. So the wolf says to the fox, sorry, other way around, fox is the one who's smart. Fox says to the wolf, here's what you're going to do. You'll go to the Jewish courtyard on Erev Shabbos, everyone's preparing for Shabbos, you'll help them, and that way you'll enjoy eating with them on Shabbos. Okay, so that was advice given to the wolf, so the wolf will have something to eat. So he goes into the courtyard of the Jews. So wolf now is in the courtyard of the Jew. What do you think the Jews are going to do? What exactly is expected? They're going to basically attack the wolf, and so the wolf is obviously a threat to them. So they're defending themselves. They're hitting the wolf. Now the wolf is going back to the fox, and he wants to kill the fox. Like, what did you do? You gave me the worst advice imaginable. Amar lo hilkucha ela bishvil avicha. So the fox says to the wolf, oh. No, that had nothing to do with you. Don't take that personally. Yes, they hit you, but they hit you because of the actions of your father. So what happened once is that once your father was helping them out, and then in the middle of your father helping them out, your father ate all their food. So now they see you, they're reminded of your father, and so they're hitting you only because of your father's actions. I'm alone, Vishvil Abba, Ani Loker. And so the wolf says to the fox, but that's not fair, meaning that's my father, that's not me. So I'm Elohein, Ha'avos Yochlenu Boser. And that brings us down to Pasuk number 1, meaning the Gemara quoted the first Pasuk in Yechezkel, Avos Yochlu Boser, Vishine Barim Tikahena. The father ate grapes, Boser means grapes that should not have been eaten, and the teeth of the children are going to be knocked out. Okay, and basically, yeah, the actions of the father are going to impact the children. Fine. That's story number 1. Now it's all like one long run on story, but basically we get to plug in the psukim as we go through the story. Next part, we're in Rashi, third line down in Rashi. So the fox says to the wolf, okay, but you're hungry. In other words, and you haven't eaten yet. So here's what you do, you come with me and let's go eat by the let's go to the well. And we're going to eat over there. Balo al habeir v'al sifaso mutal eitz v'achava mushkal v'lav uvishnei rosh ha'achava shnei delim kishurim. So basically, it's your classic picture of a well with a branch on top, a rope, and basically it's a simple pulley system. Two buckets connected to the rope. As one bucket goes down, the other bucket comes up. Okay, nice and simple. Nichnas hashul b'dli ha'alyon. So now the fox jumps into one of the buckets and v'yichbid v'yarid lamata. As a result of his own weight, so he drops down into the water. V'dili atachton Allah. Now the other bucket's coming up. Amar lo ha-ze'ev lama ata nichnas l'sham. So the wolf says to the fox, what are you doing inside the well? So amar lo yesh kan basar ugvina lechol. What do you mean? I went down to the bottom of the well because it's delicious down here. There's cheese, there's meat, there's plenty to eat. And now he showed the wolf all the beautiful cheese that's on the bottom of the well. Now, there was no cheese at the bottom of the well, but basically the moon was out already, and a reflection of the moon came off the water in the bottom of the well. And so what the wolf saw from his vantage point was what looked like a big wheel of cheese. It was just a reflection of the moon. But the wolf didn't know otherwise. Amar lo ani hech eire. So the wolf says to the fox, well, you're down here and I'm up here. How am I getting down there? Very simple. Amar lo hi kanes ata b'dli al yon. So he says, very simple. Jump into the bucket that's on the top. Your weight is going to go down. You're going to go down. I'm going to be lifted up. And that way you'll come back down. You'll eat the cheese. Nichnas v'ichbid v'yarid v'dli yashashu alav Allah. Amar lo hech ani ola. Okay. So now the wolf is on the bottom of the well, the fox is on the top of the well, and the wolf realizes that he got duped, and there was no cheese in the bottom of the well, and he says now to the fox, and how am I supposed to get back up? Amar lo, tzadik mitzara nechlas v'yavo rasha tachtav. And so the fox says, and here we are now, pasuk, now in the Gemara, it's pasuk number 3. We'll come back to pasuk number 2 in just a second. So a tzaddik is going to be saved by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in his place goes the Rasha. And so basically the fox says to the wolf, perfect, meaning you're not coming up, meaning you're going to stay down there. So lo kach siv maznei tzaddik. And fair weights and measures, meaning fair weights and measures. You went into one bucket, I went into the other bucket, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, so he was able to establish that, right, fair weight. Meaning, it's good that you weigh more than me, it's good that you went down, it's good that I came up. I mean, okay, we're all good now. And again, in the English language, we say he outfoxed him. Here, literally. We are in the Gemara, back to the Gemara, Amar Leh, Kofer L'Rebbe Gamliel. So as I mentioned in the beginning of this year today, a lot of our daf today, most of the daf, is going to be dedicated to a dialogue between various heretics and Tanaim and Amoraim. So for the next little bit, we're staying on Rebbe Gamliel. Rebbe Gamliel apparently was an address in terms of who the heretics went to, who was, you know, who they went to for debate, and, you know, maybe some of them accepted the answers. Probably not. Okay, Amalei Kofel Rabbi Gamliel Elokechem Ganavu. Your God is a thief. So we all know where Chava came from. It came from a sleeping Adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu put Adam to sleep. Took out an appendage from Adam. The Gemara has a debate exactly what the appendage was, but the from that fashion Chava, and all this without consulting with Adam. So therefore, the heretic now has the audacity to refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu as a thief. Amrle Barta Shavke de Ana Mahadrinale. So the daughter of the heretic, who was not on board with the heresy, obviously, so she says to Rabbi Gamliel, "I got this one covered." Meaning, you don't even have to answer. I'll take it from here. Amrle Tenu Duchas Echad. So she says to her father, "I need a judge." Amalei Lamalech Lamalech. So he says, "Why listen? Ba'u Elenu Halayla V'Natlu Mamanu Kiton." Sorry, Mimenu Kiton Shel Kesef V'Inichu Lanu Kiton Shel Zahav. So she says to her father, "Here's what happened: the thief came in last night, took our silver cup, and by the way, replaced it with a gold cup. But he took our silver cup." So Amar La Halavai Shiavo Elenu B'Chol Yom. So he said, "I'd love a thief like that to come every single night. Take some of our stuff, replace it with more expensive stuff." Yep, bring it on. So she says to her father, "So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu thief that you referred to took an appendage away from Adam, replaced him with a woman. Much better than an appendage." So she says to him, and you are okay with the thief stealing the silver and replacing it with gold. You're not okay with the Kadosh Baruch Hu taking the appendage and replacing it with a woman. Amar la hachi kamina ela lishkalei bahadei. So he says to his daughter, "No, I'm totally fine with that. Meaning I understand replacement value exceeded that of the original item. I get it. But the problem is, why the secrecy? Why did he have to put Adam to sleep? Just simply, you know, do it without, do it and be full disclosure." Amrale, so she says back to him, "I see li umsa de bisra." So he says, "Dad, I'll explain this one to you as well." Bring me a piece of meat, and basically, I'm going to prepare for you dinner, but you're going to watch the whole process. Okay? All you carnivores out there, and by the way, I'm at the head of the pack. All you carnivores out there, right? Try eating the meat after you see the whole process. Just as a parenthetical note, I did that. But so Amalei Umsa Debisra Aisilei Usve Tusa Bechasha. So she went through the whole process of preparing the meat in front of her father, including putting the meat right in the coals. Afikte Amalei Echol Mehai Amalei Meisali. So like in the, we say here in America, you don't want to see how the hot dog is made, right? So here, watching the entire process of how the meat is prepared for him, now, when it comes time for mealtime, he's like, I'm not that excited about eating it. So Amar Leva Adam Arishonami Yahva Shakina Beheja Have Meisale. She says that's exactly the point. What an object lesson that was taught from the daughter to the father. If Adam Arishon would have seen the process of how Chava was made from his very own appendage, would not have been that exciting to him, would not have been interested in her. Amalei Kofer LeRabbi Gamliel. Okay, this is now going to be our second dialogue of another Kofer with Rabbi Gamliel. Yadana Lakaicha Maika Ovid. So he says, I know everything about your God. Like, I know exactly what he's doing, what's going on, etc., etc. Isnaged V'isnech. So Rabbi Gamliel responded with basically a very long sigh. Like, oh, brother. Here comes another one. So Amrele Maihai. So the Kofer says to Rabbi Gamliel, why that kind of reaction? Amrele ben echa yeshli bekarcha yam v'yeshli ga'aguim ha'alav v'ina demeches lei ni'ali. So Rabbi Gamliel says, it happens to me that I have a son who is right now very far away. He's out traveling. Could you tell me where he is? So Amra mi adana hechiniu. So the Kofer says to Rabbi Gamliel, how am I supposed to know where he is? Amrele di'ika ba'ara lo yada di'ika b'shma yadas. So Rabbi Gamliel says to him, oh, that's great. So you can't even tell me where my son is, even though we're right here on this planet, on this earth, and you can't tell me where he is, and you really now expect me to believe you when you say you know about Akash Baruch Hu up in Shemayim? Like, ridiculous. Amrele Kofer LeRabbi Gamliel. Here we are now, number three. Dialogue number three. The Kofer says to Rabbi Gamliel, Ksiv, Mona Mispala Kochavim, my Rabuse. You know, Akash Baruch Hu can count the stars. And the Kofer says, big deal. Ana Masin Lamimne Kochve. I too can count stars. Not impressive. Aisa Chavusha Shadina Be'arvile. The Kamahadolahu. So Rabbi Gamliel says, really, it's so impressive, right? To count stars. Anyone can do it. So he takes fruit, puts it in a basket, but rolls the basket around so that the fruit is constantly moving in the basket. It's more than one fruit. So Amalei Minaihu, Maninhu. And Rabbi Gamliel's instructions to the Kofer is, now count the fruit. Amalei Ukimne. So the Kofer says to Rabbi Gamliel, well, hold still. Stop moving everything around, and I'll be able to count. Amalei Rekia Nami Hachi, Hadra. So Rabbi Gamliel says to the Kofer, you know, the constellation is in constant motion. Stars are moving around all the time. And you think you can count them? No, you can't do it. So, another version of basically the same story with the same point and the same conclusion, but just simply a different variation, and that is, the Kofer says, I can count the stars. Says, well, that's interesting. How many teeth do you have? So the Kofer says, well, wait one second. And he opens up his own mouth. And basically sticks his fingers in his mouth and starts counting his own teeth. Okay? So he says, really, you don't even know how many teeth are in your own mouth. And you now expect, yeah, it's amazing. And you expect me to believe you when you say you know how many stars are. Amalei Kofer LeRabbi Gamliel, here we go now, number four, our fourth dialogue. So Misha Bara Harim Lo Bara Ruach. Shenamar ki hine yotzer harim uvore ruach. You'll notice that there are two different verbs that are used in describing the creation of the mountains and that of the wind. There is a yotzer for the mountain, and there's a yotzer for the mountain, and there's a bore for the ruach. And what this Kofer now is hypothesizing is, oh, I get it. There are two different creators, right? So Rabbi Gamliel says to the Kofer, you know, we have the same verbs used in terms of the formation of man. And you mean to tell me that you're now going to be a believer that there are multiple deities creating man? Misha Barzel Barzel, Tefach al Tefach Yeshba Ba'adam. Let's just even take a look at the head of a human being. It is, in terms of dimensions, one tefach by one tefach, right? Our heads are a little more than tefach. The face is a tefach. But anyway, the Gemara says elsewhere the face is a tefach. Anyway, shnei nekavim yesh bo. And there are two orifices in the head. Rashi says we're talking about the ear and the eye. I know there are more, but in other words, he's making a very specific point. Misha barzeh lo barzeh. And now you want to argue that the one who made the eye is not the one who made the ear. So Shenemar, Noteaz, and Allah Yishmael, and Yimliotse, Yain, Allah Yabin. Now, the Pasuk in Tehillim says very clearly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both. He created the eye and he created the ear. So, and you mean to tell me that you think that because there are different verbs that are used, so therefore there are two different creators. So Amalei in. So now his response was, no, I do believe that. I believe that. So Amalei, so Gamliel says to the Kofar, Vishas Misa Kulam Nispaisu. So he says, dramatically, And it basically ends the discussion. So when a person dies, so if there's one creator, so you understand how basically there's a failure of all the body parts because there's one creator. But according to you, that there are multiple creators. And so now there are multiple deities responsible for the various parts of our body. And the eye was made and is navigated by one creator. And the ear is navigated and created by another creator. But you mean to tell me that when the person dies, all these creators get together and they all have to agree at the same time, okay, now is his demise. We all agree. And basically, if you believe in multiple creators and multiple deities, like they're really going to be that agreeable to one another? So Amar Leha, Iyam Gushala Memer. That was the end of that discussion. Okay. So four different dialogues between Kofrim and Rabin Gamliel. We have now the Amgushi. The English word magician and the Aramaic word Amgushi is almost identical to one another. Therefore, it leads me to think that probably a derivative. So this Amgushi says to Amemar, right, he's a sorcerer, a magician, whatever. Mi pagach le'ela de hormiz, mi pagach le'tasai de ahormiz. Basically, let's take the body, let's divide into two sections. I'm saying over the Gemara like Rashi. Tosus gives a different shot, but I'm going to stay over the Gemara like Rashi. We're going to take the body, we're going to divide it into two halves, the upper halves and the lower halves. The upper halves is going to be controlled and assigned to Hormes, a deity, lowercase d. And the lower portion is going to be controlled by Ahormes, Rashi says that is a Persian word for describing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. I know what's going to happen next. I turn to my Persian constituency here in the room. I ask them how to say God and it's not going to be anything like this.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, I know the drill. I learned my lesson. Okay, fine. Okay, yeah, it takes time, but I learned. Okay, anyway, so the upper portion is controlled by one deity, lowercase d. Lower portion is controlled by a second deity, capital D. So Amar Lei Im Kein Hechi Shavik Lei Ahormiz Lohormiz Lavur Imaya Ba'arei. So Amemar says to this magician, well, that's absurd. Because what's now happening is that all the waste matter that's coming from the upper portion now is going to go into the lower portion if they are controlled by two different deities. Do you think the lower deity really wants to be the receptacle of literally the garbage that's created by the human being? Meaning, if they were two different deities, the lower one is going to reject the... No, I'm not collecting your garbage, your waste product. Amar Lei, Matzina Mehave Kavasaichu. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Okay, now I'm back. Amar Lei, Kesar LeRabbi Tanchum. Here comes another dialogue. Caesar is talking to Rabbi Tanchum. Tale Have Kulan La'am Achad. Let's all be one nation. This idea of Jewish people, its own identity. He says, no, come on. We're all one people. We're all one race. Let's all unify. So Amar Lechaye. So Rabbi Tanchum says, okay, fine. You know what? Splendid idea. However, Anan de Mehalinan lo matzina mehave kavasaychu. Asun mealisu v'have kavasan. Look, we already have a bris mila, so we can't be ungemalt. That's just not going to happen. So yesterday's Gemara, by the way, one of the things that the Gemara accused Adam Avrishon of doing is trying to undo the mila. But they said, look, we can't do that. So for us to become you, that's physically impossible. So you become like us. And by the way, this argument, this was Levin Shimon, right, to Shechem. Okay, so you get a meal and you become like us. Amalom Memeshah Bekamart. Oh, so the Caesar realized that he was just out debated. And it was pretty quick also. The debate came to an end awfully quick. He knew the Romans are not going to buy into this plan of everybody get a bris milah. Okay, fine. Mio called the Zachi Lamalka Lishayju Lebivar. So he says, but you know what you just did? You just beat me in debate. You embarrassed me. Okay, so that's the death penalty right there. So Rabbi Tanchum, you go now into the arena with the lions. So Shaju Labiver, so he was thrown into the pit with the lions. Velo achlu, however, the lions did not consume Rabbi Tanchum. Amalu Amina, hi delo achlu mishum delo kafian. So a heretic says to the Caesar, oh, I get it. Lions aren't hungry right now. It's not right. They must have just ate. So Shajule Lididei Va'achlua. And as you probably expected this story to end, Caesar says, oh, you know what? That's an interesting theory. Let's test your theory. Takes a heretic, throws them into the pit. Lions are hungry. Okay. Amalei Kofer L'Rabban Gamliel. Okay, more. We're back to another Rabban Gamliel story. This is our fifth for today. Amalei Kofer L'Rabban Gamliel. Amriso Kol Be'al Sarah Shechinta Sharyei. So I heard this thing that when ten Jews get together, the Shekhinah joins them, right? We call that a minyan. So, but let me ask you a question. There's a minyan in Boca, and thank God there's a minyan in Hollywood, and North Miami Beach, and in Miami, and Boynton, and you know I can go on and on. Okay, there are minyanim all over, and the Shekhinah can do that. The Shekhinah can just be in multiple places at one time. Kama Shekhinta Ika. How many Shekhinahs are there? So Kari Lashame. So Rabbi Gamliel calls over the attendant of the heretic, and starts off by giving him a hit. Hits him right on his throat. Right. Fine. So Amalei Amai, the Al Shamsha Bevesa de Kofer. So he says, the Rabbi Gamliel says to the attendant of the heretic, you know, you allowed sunlight to go into the house of the kofer, meaning you didn't pull down the shades and you allowed sunlight to come in. So Amalei Shimsha Kuli Amanicha. So the attendant says, first of all, he probably wonders why he just got hit. But he says to Rabbi Gamliel, what did you expect? Meaning that's how the sun operates. The sun shines over the entire world. It's not like the sun just shines in one location. Umash Shimsha, dechad min elef alfe ribu Shimsha, dekame kutsha brichuhu nicha lekule ame. So he says, well, the sun is just a servant of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's just one of many. And meanwhile, the sun is so powerful that it permeates throughout the entire world. Shchinte de kutsha brichul achas kama vekama. The shchina of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you can imagine the sun shining everywhere at all times. You can't imagine the Shekhinah. And it's just a question of allowing the Shekhinah to come in. So when 10 people get together, it allows for the Shekhinah to come in, but the Shekhinah is shining and permeating throughout the entire world. And again, the disconnect between the Kofer and Rabbi Gamliel is the Kofer is treating the Shekhinah like a physical entity. And Rabbi Gamliel's response is, no, it's not a physical entity. It's something that is permeating throughout, and it's just a question of allowing it to come in. Amalei Umina l'Rabbi Abahu. Next. Dialogue here is between a heretic and Rabbi Abahu. Elokechem gagchan hu. Your God is, he's basically a joker. Multiple instructions were given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yechezkel, go sleep on your right side, go sleep on your left side. So, and now before Rabbi Abahu has a chance to answer the question, Azo tamid amalei maitama deshviyasa. A student comes into Rabbi Gamliel and he's looking for time to crawl. He wants to know reasons behind the mitzvahs in the Torah. Like a Sefer Chinuch. So he says, what's behind Shemitah? What's the idea behind Shemitah? That every seventh year we have to let the land lay fallow. So Rabbi Abahu says, I got an answer for you. I'm going to answer both of your questions. It's basically going to be the same answer and it's going to satisfy both questions. Although, quite frankly, I don't think the heretic is going to walk out satisfied. But anyway, here's an answer for both. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Zaro Sheish V'Yishmitu Sheva Kedei Sheteidu Sha'aret Sheli. So here we have Sefer HaChinuch. just, you know, 1,000 years earlier, before the Sefer HaChinuch was written, in the Gemara. So what's the reason, what's behind Shemitah? So the idea behind Shemitah is that when you work the land for 6 years and then you let it go in the seventh year, you're showing that you're not the real owner of the land, because if you were, you would have total control, but you're not the real owner of the land. The real owner of the land is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you just have usage rights, but you're not the real owner. That's the idea behind Shemitah. Vehein lo asu kein. Now, during the entire Bais Rishon, we didn't do it. We didn't treat Shemitah with its proper respect. Elachatu v'galo. What happened was is that we sinned and we were sent into exile. Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Minagosh olam melech basav adam shesarcha alav medina imachzari hu horegis kulan. Imrachman hu horeg chetzyam. Imrachman male rachmim hu miyaser hagadolim shebehem. Biyasurim. Look, you have a king and he has a rebellious faction. So a king, generally speaking, will just simply obliterate them, the entire rebellion. If he's merciful, he'll only kill half of them. And if he's super merciful, so then he'll just knock off just the leaders of the rebellion. And that's what Yechezkel does. Sorry. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Even though the Jewish people were rebellious vis-a-vis Shemitah, and now we're approaching the end of Bais Rishon, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu just gives Yisurim, he gets suffering to the leaders of the Jewish people, notably Yechezkel. So Amalei Omina L'Rebbe Abahu, we're to our next dialogue. Alokechem Kohen Hu, your God is a Kohen. D'chsi v'ichuli Truma. Now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from the beginning of Parshas Truma, and now Truma in this context is really just a reference to a donation to build the Mishkan. But okay, in other words, taking the pasuk super literally, it gives the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kohen asking for Truma. Ki kavrei la Moshe b'may tava. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is a Kohen, and now he's burying Moshe Rabbeinu, and now he's tameh. And how does he become tahor again? Okay, now, admittedly, this discussion is going to sound a little nonsensical. Okay, and Rashi himself at this point writes, it's the second to last line, that even though Rabbi Abahu is engaging in this discussion, it's kind of like he's pushing him off. Meaning this discussion over here and the entertainment of this discussion is not to be taken super literally. And again, like I said yesterday, I'm going to repeat again today. I'll just say it one time. Obviously, the Gemara over here is communicating to us ideas that are deep. And just because I don't fully understand the depths of the Gemara doesn't mean that encoded in these Gemaras over here are very profound ideas. And even though the discussion, the dialogue may seem to us to be somewhat a little bit silly, so to say, but to trivialize the Gemara would be a big mistake. So Rabbi Abahu says, okay. So the heretic says to Rabbi Abahu, so God's a Kohen and he buried Moshe Rabbeinu, and how does he become Tahor? So v'chitim b'maya v'aksiv ki madad b'sha'alamayim. Now there's not enough water for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tovel, and in fact the entire body of water that surrounds the earth is measured by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his fist. Now anthropomorphism over here don't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a fist. It's just a way for us to understand for HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's nothing. It's practically nothing. So amalei benur tovel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tovels himself in fire. D'chsiv ki ne Hashem ba'ish yavo. So umi saka tvilasa benura. Now, does that work halachically? You can tovel on fire? So amale adrabi ikar tvilasa benura. What do you mean? That's the best way to tovel on fire. So by the clay Midyan, after we went to war against the Midyanim and we got the spoils of the war, so we need to kosher them. So anything that does that didn't go through a fire, meaning the spits and the grills, so they're going to be kosher in fire and a fig, and if it's just something that was cooked, meaning like a pot with water, so then you kosher them with water. And basically, hagala, right? The halachas of how to kosher kalim. Now, admittedly over here, and again, this brings us to Rashi's point, that this dialogue over here is not to be taken literally. The psukim over here are not talking about toveling in a mikvah. It's about koshering kalim. But still, again, the dialogue over here is being discussed to communicate more profound ideas. So lo yavah b'ishtavir b'mayim, amalei ha'umina l'rebi, I'm sorry, period. Okay, next. Three lines from the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Amalei ha'umina l'rebi, avina k'siv ki amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. So the Jewish people are a goy echad. We're a nation. My Rabbi Sayu, Asanami, Avinu Ba'adan, Dechsev Kol Agoyim Ka'ayin Negdo. Okay, big deal. You're a nation. We're a nation too. And as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, like, all this is not impressive to him. He quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu that all the nations Ka'ayin Negdo, they're like nothing compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Lei Miditchu Asihidu Alan. So Rav Avina says, well, let's listen to one of your prophets. And if we listen to what one of your prophets says, you'll understand your question is no question. When he says one of your prophets, who is a non-Jewish prophet? We know of one. Bilam. So, Dichsiv. Uvegoyim lo yischashav. Top now of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. So, quoting from Parashas Balak. So, the Pasuk says that we are not considered amongst one of the nations. Meaning we're totally independent, we're totally separate. So, we're not one of you. So even though it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says all these nations are nothing to me, but that's excluding us. Rabbi Elazar Rami, Ksiv Tov Hashem Lekov, Ksiv Tov Hashem Lekovav. Rabbi Eliezer notes the discrepancy between Psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to everybody, and it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good Lekovav, to those who hope and pray to him. Marshal Adam Sheish Lepardis Kishu Mashka Mashka Skula Kishu Oder Eino Oder Elo Tovim Shebehem. Really, a profound idea regarding Hashkachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Gemara here. Let me first say the Mashal, and then I'll say the Nimshal. The Mashal over here is like someone who has a field. An irrigation of the field will irrigate the entire field. Because what is irrigation? It's allowing water to come onto the field. Okay, so in other words, you open up the canal, you allow water to come onto the field, and obviously every tree is going to get watered. But then in terms of paying careful attention to each and individual tree regarding the hoeing and the digging and all the extra labor that's necessary, so he'll go to the trees that he really likes. So here too, in other words, in terms of understanding the discrepancy between the two psukim, Tov Hashem HaKol HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to all, that's like the irrigation of the field. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives good to everybody. Meaning that's the world that he created. The world that he created is to provide good for everybody. And that's what we would use, the language we would use is maybe Hashkacha Klolis, meaning that's a general Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Likovav, meaning and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays careful attention, Likovav. Okay, and that's like what we would describe as Hashkacha Pratis, meaning that for the Jewish people, there's a special Hashkacha that's given to us, and beyond the general that he gives to everybody else. Leficha Kol Echa Ve'Echad. Now, the witnesses, we're back at the Mishnah, we're at the end of the Mishnah as we're closing up the Perek. The witnesses basically say, we don't want to testify, because even though we saw it, and even though we're telling the truth, but somebody's going to die, and that's not good. And we finally say to the witnesses, no, that is good. In other words, if he was a murderer, and you testify, and he's executed as a result of that, so that is a good thing. And the Gemara quoted, the Mishnah quoted the Pasuk, that when Rishayim are destroyed, so Rina comes into the word. Ba'avod Rishayim Rina. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Mishlei. Sorry, the Mishnah does. Anyway, we are going to now deal with that topic at length here on the Amud Beis of the Gemara. Vayavor Rina Ba'machane, Am Rabbi Acha Rabbi Chanina Ba'avod Rishayim Rina Ba'avod Acha Ben Amri Rina. When Achav finally died in battle, so there was Rina into the world. Achav was one of the wicked kings, and together with his wife Izabel, so they were part of Machi Yisrael. And finally, when he died, so there was Rina in this world. So the Gemara says, first of all, you really think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy when he has to destroy, when he has to destroy Rishayim? So b'tzeis lefnei achalutz v'omrim hodol Hashem ki l'olam chasdo v'am Rabbi Yonasan mibnei malo nemar b'hoda zu ki tov. And Divrei Hayamim, it describes that there was praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for killing Achav, but it doesn't say ki tov. Normally the refrain goes hodol Hashem ki tov, and over here it does not say ki tov. L'fi shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu samech b'mapolasam shav Rishayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy when he has to destroy Rishayim. It's necessary, but it doesn't make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. Damar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yonos, Amai Dichtiv, Lo Karav Zel, Zeh Kol HaLayla. The Pasuk in Shmos describing how the Egyptians and the Jews did not get close to one another. But the Gemara understands this on a different level, on a level that we've heard before in the Gemara. Bo'os Hashah, Bikshu Malach HaSharos Lomar Shira Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Malach HaSharos wanted to sing Shira as the Egyptians were being destroyed. Amar Lama HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Masa Yadai Tavasam B'yam V'atam Omrim Shira? No. my creations are being destroyed. It's not an appropriate time to say Shira. By the way, the obvious irony that who says Shira at that point in time? The Jewish people. As Yashem Moshe Bnei Yisrael. Who's not allowed to say Shira? The Malachim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Malachim not to say Shira. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chinino, so we obviously have a problem because it sounds like there's Rina in the world when Rishayim die, and meanwhile, two sources, one from Divrei Hayom and the other from Shmos, to the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy when he has to destroy Rishayim. How do we contend with that? How do we deal with that? So, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chinino, who in Osas Aval Acherim Mesis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is unhappy, but the beneficiaries of the destruction of the Rishayim, they are in fact happy. Gemara says, if you look carefully at the Pesukim, it says Yasis, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes others to be happy. And by the way, that explains the discrepancy between the Malachim and the Jewish people. Meaning the Jewish people who were saved at Kriyas Yamsuf, so we were the beneficiaries of the destruction of the Egyptians, therefore we were entitled to sing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was the one who actually had to destroy the Egyptians, so obviously he was not happy. Yes. Right. Correct. All right. We discussed Achav very briefly before, and so the Gemara is going to focus more on him. Let's just do a little bit more. We're not going to finish the parak, but let's get close to it. Hazonos Rachatzu. Okay, this is now a description of Achav at the death in battle. And the word is Hazonos Rachatzu. The prostitutes, what does that have to do with anything of Achav being in battle? Ama Rebbe Lamarishte Chezionos. The word Hazonos, the Hey and the Ches are very similar letters, both in the way they look and in the way they sound. And Hazonos also is it could be understood as a derivative of Chezionos. Micha, when prophesizing about Achav's death, said he's going to die in the battlefield. And Eliyahu ksiv, b'makom asher lakaku al klavim es dam navos, and Eliyahu prophesized that Achav is going to die in the same place that Navos died. Navos was the neighbor of Achav, who was not ready to sell the field, his property over to Achav. Achav and Izevel put together a couple of witnesses to falsely testify about Naval. Naval dies as a result of this. And one of the reasons, the Mida Keneged Mida, why Achav was punished and killed. And Eliyahu says that he's going to die in the same place that Navos died, but that, of course, is in his palace and his house. So, where was Achav going to die? So the Nevuah actually tells us in two different locations. One is out in the battlefield, and the other one is at home. Now, how do the two prophecies get how do they get resolved? In just a moment, we're going to answer that. Rava Amar Zonos Mamash. Now, Rava says no. He has a different shot in the pasuk, meaning there were prostitutes out in the battlefield, not actual prostitutes, but pictures of them. Achav Ish Mitzonein Hayavaso Lo Izevel Shtei Tzurei Zonos B'Merkavto. So Achav was a very cold man, and so what his wife did for him is she painted pornography on his chariot so that it would warm him up. Kedei Shira Osam V'Yis Chameim. V'Ish Mashach B'Keshes L'Tumo V'Yakeh. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Malachim in terms of the actual death of Achav, and there was a person who threw an arrow L'Tumo. Now, literally, that translates as innocently. What does that mean? And it hits Achav and it kills Achav. Rabbi Eliezer Malafi Tomo, Rabbi Elazar says, yeah, that's right. In other words, he wasn't aiming for Achav. But in other words, because the Nevuah was that Achav was going to be critically wounded in the battlefield, so an arrow finds its way to Achav. Rava Amar L'Tameim Shtei Chezionos. Rava says it's actually to resolve the two Nevuahs that we raised just a moment ago. Achashal Michal v'Achashal Eliyahu. Meaning that what happened was that he was critically wounded in the battlefield, but his actual death, meaning he was brought back to his palace and he died actually in the palace itself. And this resolves the discrepancy between the two Nevuahs, meaning he didn't physically come back from the battlefield, but mortally wounded, and he died back home. Okay. We will stop here at this point in time. Tomorrow we'll finish up the parak. We have a little bit more to go in terms of just Achav and more to this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu meeting out punishments against the Rishayim. Okay, I'd kind of stop here.